Our study continues in the 5th chapter of 2 Samuel. Last time we'd gotten down to the 12th verse of this chapter. And the setting for this passage is that David has just been anointed king over all Israel. He has moved the kingdom to Jerusalem and has captured the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Hiram, king of Tyre, has sent over carpenters and masons and cedar trees and built David a house here. And now David, in verse 12, is said to perceive that the Lord hath established him king over Israel. He has not only been made king in that he's been anointed, this is his third time to be anointed king, actually, but he now has been established king over Israel. That is, God has firmly entrenched him as king. Not only him, but also his descendants after him will be then rulers over Israel. And this is done, according to the last part of that verse, that he hath exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. All the things that he does to David, all of the benefits that are derived from his power and his glory are for the people's sake. It's for the people Israel's sake. David is there to protect them, to guide them, to lead them, to feed them, to be as a shepherd unto them. And so it is today, in the true kingdom of heaven today, we have a descendant from David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our King. He is firmly established, and it is for the purpose of benefiting his people, for the people Israel's sake. Now we read about this in Psalm 89. I'd like to read from that psalm, beginning with the 20th verse. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him, and I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. So we have that reading then from the 89th Psalm, which has to do with this kingdom of David, with the establishment of it, and with the fact that it's going to endure. And that also is a prophecy that will apply to the kingdom that we have today, the kingdom of heaven, and our King today, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 41:11, David also says, By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And so it has ever been. It is the victory that God gives his people over his enemies. The fact that they are allowed in the end to triumph, to stand, that's the way that they truly know that God favors them. And when we fail to get the victory, when we fail to triumph eventually, then it's because we have sinned, it's because we have transgressed, and we need the rod of God. We need to be punished. Verse 13, And David took to him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem, after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. Now, there's no way that we can glean any praise out of this for David. The Bible is not praising David. It's not necessarily condoning his actions at all. And we know that this goes against God's true feeling for a man and the taking of multiple wives. Nevertheless, David did this, and it is recorded here, and it seems that he had eight wives and 10 concubines. And then in verses 14 and 15 and 16, we have the names of the children that were born to him at this place. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shammua, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, Ibhar also, and Elishua, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elisama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. We have 11 sons named here, being born at Jerusalem, and previously we had 6 sons that were born at Hebron. Verse 17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and went down to the hold. Now David's fame had spread to the Philistines, no doubt, very quickly. And it seems that all this time that David had been reigning now at Hebron, 7.5 years, and Ish-bosheth was reigning over on the other side of Jordan at the same time over the rest of Israel, that the Philistines had been more or less remaining unchallenged and unchecked in the territory that they'd conquered. And they had a long time now to be masters over this part of Israel. And now that David was anointed king over all Israel, this stirred them up. They began to think and to wonder what is going to happen here with David being king. So no doubt they thought that they would try to defeat David early in his reign, try to gain some kind of an advantage before David gained any more power than they already had. He now was a powerful king, and it only stood to reason that the longer they waited, the more power he would gain. So they heard about him being king. They came up to seek David, and then when David heard that they were coming, he went down to the hold. He went to secure some important and advantageous position, but yet he did not take any action against the Philistines until he had consulted with God. They spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim, which is an area very close to Jerusalem, and so we see that Jerusalem was their principal target. Now, if they could just take the city of Jerusalem, then they could be more successful against David, because this was now David's headquarters. And it seemed that the Philistines had fairly well remained unchecked now for the last 8 to 10 years, ever since they defeated Saul and brought about the death of Saul. They no doubt had run of a lot of the land of Israel, and no one had really been able to oppose them. Now that David was gaining more strength, David had united all the tribes behind him, they thought that they must now concentrate on David as being the main one to overcome, because they didn't want David to get any more strength than he already had. So they came to this area of Jerusalem in the Valley of Rephaim. They spread themselves, which indicates they had a large army, large enough to be able to cover a lot of territory, to spread themselves out and to really be a fearsome adversary against David and his army. And of course we know today that the church, when it faces its enemies, the enemies of God, they are able to spread themselves out upon the earth. They're able to be and to appear to be a very formidable foe. And we cannot allow ourselves to fall back or to be so afraid that we're not going to take up the fight for God, simply because our foe looks to be great and unconquerable. And so verse 19 says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? So he wanted to know, shall I go up? Now David, of course, we think should have known that he was to go up. One of the primary reasons he was anointed king was to deliver the people from the Philistines. However, there could have been a question as to whether or not this was the time to go, whether or not this was the place to go. And so David was most proper in approaching God on the matter and asking about this. Shall I go up to the Philistines? Also, we have to remember that one of the prominent kings of the Philistines had been a close friend of David, had given him some very close aid and comfort during the time that Saul was seeking after him, and David might have had some personal misgivings about whether or not he was to go up against him. And we have to realize that in the Christian life, we cannot allow friendship or personalities to interfere with our service to God. Regardless of what kind of connections we've had in times past, regardless of what kind of an alliance we might have made when we were not serving God, when we become servants of God, then His service is first, His will is first. But David does ask, shall I go up to the Philistines? And the second question is, wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? If I go, am I going to have the victory? And of course, David plainly recognizes here that if he did get the victory, it would be because God gave it to him. Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? Are you going to give me the victory? Are you going to bring about the defeat of these enemies? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. No question about it, David. I want you to go. And I also will bring about the deliverance of the Philistines into thine hand. Now we notice here that David, even though God was going to give him the victory, even though God was going to deliver the Philistines into his hand, David still had to do something. He had to go up. He had to actually prepare for and engage himself in the battle with his army against these Philistines. But yet, God is the one who gives the victory. And so it is today. We have to work toward our salvation. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to go up. We have to do. We have to act. Yet, it is God who delivers us. It's God who gives us salvation. But never can we say that God gives it to us without our having to do some kind of action. He requires us to act. He requires us to work. And verse 20 says, David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. So they did engage in the battle. David was successful. He smote them there. This indicates that this was a battle involving the use of the swords and so forth. And because God gave him the victory, because God allowed him to be successful, he says, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. It's as though a dam is broken, and the waters begin to spill through this opening in the dam. And the more the waters spill through this opening, the wider it becomes, and then the more waters are allowed to spill forth so that they overcome anything that might be in their path. And that's why he describes this defeat of the Lord against the Philistines. The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore we call the name of that place Baal-perazim. And the word Baal-perazim means master of the breaches. So that it was a sign to recognize the fact that he'd been allowed to master this pouring forth against the Philistines. Verse 21, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. So they'd taken their images, their idolatrous gods, with them into the battle, thinking that they would get some kind of strength, some kind of victory from them. And the battle was so badly lost, the rout was so complete, that they left their idols there. They left there their images. And David and his men burned them. They didn't keep them for trophies or for souvenirs or to put in some museum someplace. They burned them. They got rid of them. And so we see that when the Philistines captured the Ark of God years before this, that the Ark destroyed them. But now whenever their gods are captured, that they are destroyed by David and his men. Verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now here was a second assault by the Philistines. David's defeated them one time, a sound defeat, and they even lost their images in this defeat. But now they come up again. They're not going to give up. And here again, this is characteristic of the world. Even though the church should win a victory, or even win a battle, a war, nevertheless, the enemies of the church are always going to be ready to regroup and to come back and to attack again. So here they come back again to this same place in the Valley of Rephaim. They still are wanting to overcome Jerusalem. And when David inquired of the Lord, so we find that David again goes back to the Lord. He asked the Lord what he is to do. And the Lord gave him an answer. He said, thou shalt not go up. So this is going to be a little different situation. Instead of immediately going forth into battle and encountering the Philistines, which the Lord could have had David to have done easily. The Lord could have easily given him the victory. But it seems the Lord is going to go about this in a different manner, maybe in a manner to even more graphically prove to David that he was giving him the victory. So he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." And this word for mulberry trees also is translated as balsam trees. But what he tells David to do is, retreat from them and then circle and go around behind them. So that it's going to look like maybe that they are gaining the victory in the beginning. And you're not going to attack like you did before. You're going to, in the early part of this battle, you're going to be rather passive. And you go over to this certain area, over against what he calls you the mulberry trees, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. Now there's some question as to just what this is, this top of the mulberry trees, what this sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees is. There's some who feel that God is going to attack this army with a group of angels, and that he's going to overcome them with the angels first, before David ever is involved in the battle. Others feel that this is just a sound that he makes in the top of the trees, as though wind were rustling through the leaves of the trees. But nevertheless, it is a sign to David that when he hears this sound of a going, or this sound of a wind, or of a rustling, or of an activity in the tops of these trees, then he shall bestir himself. In other words, God is going to first of all do his work. He's going to prepare the way. And then, when he has gotten things ready, then David is to do his work. So if man still has a part that he has to do in defeating the enemies of God. God definitely does a part of this. God definitely does lead and guide and give us a way to be successful. But nevertheless, we still have to do. And here it was also in the case of David. Then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So the Lord is still going to give David the victory, but David has to wait until the right time, wait until things are properly prepared before he can do this. Now this reminds us of the time when the church was being established. Here the disciples, the apostles of Christ, were all ready, but they were told to go and wait, to tarry in Jerusalem, until they be endued with power from on high. They did go and wait until the proper time came. And then whenever this Holy Spirit came upon them as the rushing of a mighty wind, it's symbolic of this sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then the Lord had properly prepared things for them to bestir themselves. Then they were ready to act, and they could act, and the Lord went before them. Then the Lord shall go out before thee, he tells David, to smite the host of the Philistines. And verse 25 says, and David did so. Whatever the Lord instructed him to do, David did it. David was very obedient, as the Lord had commanded him. Now, this is the most important principle for us to realize and to maybe take note of here. Whatever God commands us to do, whatever God directs us to do, whatever we can perceive to be the will of God, then we do so. We do that. We do as the Lord has commanded us. Throughout the Bible, the one constant theme is man obeys the commands of God. Whatever his commands are, our job, our duty, our one great purpose is to obey the commands of God. We're told, of course, that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And so David did precisely this. David did so. He inquired of the Lord, and then whatever the Lord told him to do, that he did. David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. That is, he drove them all the way back out of the land of Israel into the borders of their own country, and he was quite successful. And so David then has begun to fulfill one major portion of his reign as king over these Israelites, and that is to deliver them from the Philistines. And this seems to begin the demise of this nation of the Philistines. Well, that concludes the fifth chapter of 2 Samuel. Now, as we move into the sixth chapter,